Blog Talk Radio.
Calling my name, yeah.
Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and I would like to welcome all of our guests tonight that are listening live in the queue, those that are on the couch, and those that are listening via the internet. Our topic tonight is the four seasons of marriage, and we have a special co-host, Mr. and Mrs. Murray. And they are going to talk to us about the four seasons of marriage. But before we open that door, I want to share a poem about marriage and eloquently speaking about the first night. And this is going to set the stage for the rest of this show and the discussion. So hang tight for a moment while I share this piece, and then I'm going to introduce you to our guest, and we also have a surprise guest on the line, so this is going to be a very interesting topic. So eloquently speaking about the first night, baby, I love you so much. The wedding was so beautiful, and you were absolutely gorgeous. Watching you walk down the aisle smiling will forever be engraved in my mind. You are my queen. Can you help me unzip my gown, please? Sure, baby. Give me 1 second to open this champagne so that once you change into something more comfortable, we can have a toast and celebrate our first night together as man and wife. Okay, here I come, slowly unzipping her gown. He leaned forward and gently kissed her neck, and she slowly turned around, met his lips, and slowly they kissed and held each other, oh, so gently. Okay, hold on. Let me get out of this gown and get more comfortable. I'll be back in a moment. While she was in the shower, he pulled the covers back on the bed, lit the candles, turned the light off, and placed the card that he made for her on the pillow. She came out of the bathroom in a sheer ivory negligee and reached up to take the pin out of her hair. And he stood there watching her curls fall down to her shoulders, and he smiled. At the bed, she picked up the card, and this is what it said. Today, you became my wife, and I became your husband, and I promise to love and cherish you for the rest of my life. You have made me the happiest man in the world, and I want you to know that I will never take you for granted. All of my life, I have waited for this moment to take your hand and ask you to kneel down with me at the foot of the bed and pray together as Miss and Mrs. Hoffman. Love always, Tom. So taking his bride by the hand, they kneeled down to pray. Dear God, thank you for this awesome day. Our wedding, the reception, the family and friends were so amazing, and we so appreciate you and everything that you did for us. Tonight, God, we commit our marriage into your hands. Your word says that the marriage bed is not defiled. And we thank you for showing us what making love is really like when a man and a woman invites God into their relationship from the beginning to the end. Father, we have waited for each other for a very long time. And tonight, before we become one, we ask that you bless our union, protect us, and keep us safe from all harm and danger. Help us to cleave to each other the way you intended it to be, not our families, just my wife and me, in Jesus' name. Candles out, the end. So I pray that that peace has blessed you, because it's at that wedding scene, the ceremony, the reception, and that first night that everybody is just so in love, and it's a wonderful season. But what happens between that time, the beginning, the middle, and the end? And this is my drum roll to introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. Murray. Welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you,
hey,
Stacey.
Hey,
hey. Hey, I'm so glad to have you guys here. And please give me your names and introduce yourself to our radio listeners.
Sure. So I am Millicent Murray, and I am the wife to my very special husband, Scott Murray, who will introduce himself. I am currently one of the ministers of Church of Christian Compassion, and I sing, and importantly, you know, even though I do different ministries and I'm on a prayer team and stuff, relationships are very, very important to me and has always been since I was young. And with my husband, it's very interesting on how we, you know, help other married, you know, other couples, and we've had like couples fellowship at our house and everything, and it just tells us into a different area of our life. So I'm excited to be on the talk show today to talk about this particular subject that I actually hold dear.
And why is this so important to you, the four seasons of marriage?
Because when you don't recognize the seasons and look at them, even from the natural standpoint, you miss it. And when you get in that winter season, because winter will come, but it's how you handle it and understand what's going on, a lot of people end up, we almost did because we went through a winter season and didn't recognize it. And so people end up in different things, and sin enters in. There's different things that take place in that winter season when you're not paying attention. So I believe that if you take selfishness out, if you do what that couple did in that poem, bring God in, then you will have more summers. You'll have more of those hot summers, more of those summers, more of those spring. You'll have more of those laid-back fall. This is a nice, nice time in your marriage. And you won't have as many winters, or when the winter comes, it won't last so long. But that's because you'll recognize what the enemy is trying to do against your marriage and your relationship, and you'll act accordingly.
Wow, that's deep right there. Okay, so we're going to have Mr. Murray introduce himself. How are you tonight?
I'm good, I'm good. How about yourself?
I am doing well. Thank you for joining us tonight and doing this dual interview and discussion. We are excited to hear what you guys have to say about the four seasons of marriage. Can you introduce yourself and tell the audience a little bit about you?
Sure. My name is Scott Murray, of course. I am beautiful lady here, Millicent. I am a musician at Church of Christian Compassion. Spent a lot of time in the music field in church, growing up in church, different church venues. I played the drums, played the percussions. I also sing well. And I'm an all-around fun person to be around, fun husband, try to be a good father, good family person. Family's important to me. Relationships are very important to me. It's what my wife and I like to get up winter, and we survived it. You know, it was rough, but we survived it through just learning how to first get within ourselves and pray for ourselves that we can be better to each other, and then praying for each other. And a lot of relationships, people, I think a lot of people aren't as prepared about marriage.
Okay, Scott, you're going in and out.
I'm sorry. A lot of people don't, you know, understand the full force of what marriage can be. It can be a very powerful thing, or it can, you know, it can be bad. It's just how you're prepared for it and what you do in it to make it go where it goes. So, you know, the four seasons are important, just like they are in the natural world, they are important in the spiritual world. They're going to come regardless of what we do. You're going to have winters, you're going to have summers, you're going to have falls, you're going to have spring. It's all about your preparation within going from one season to the other, how you survive.
That's true. And, you know, what stood out to me with this whole topic is the four seasons of marriage. But individually, we all have those seasons that we go through in our singleness while we're preparing for marriage. So, you know, that was just some food for thought to put out there. But right now, I want to turn the mic over to you all so that you can get into your message tonight. And throughout the discussion, if anyone has a question or a comment you want to share, please press 1 on the phone and we will grace you on the mic. And if you're listening via the internet, please put your comments on the message board and we will present your questions or your comments to Mr. and Mrs. Murray. We don't want to leave anyone out. And when you guys are speaking, just make sure you put the phone close to you, so because it was breaking up a little bit. And the mic is yours.
All right. So I'm going to start off first by first we're going to have a moment, just a quick moment of prayer, so that we can make sure that, you know, God leads us in what we're this discussion. So, Father God, we thank you so much. We are so grateful for another day, Lord God. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies, oh God. Father, we just ask, Father, that this time of this discussion, Father, will be blessed by you, that someone's marriage is changed, that someone who may be in the winter season will know what to do to get out, that someone, a couple that's in the spring or summer or fall season, that they recognize that and they do everything in their power, you know, that they yield themselves to you, oh God, so that they, Father, won't be in a long winter season. And we just pray for blessed marriages, Father, all the way around, finances, spiritually, sexually, in their jobs, in whatever way, Lord God, we just thank you and praise you, Father, for blessing marriages, God, and we give you praise and glory for this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Right.
Amen. And Millicent, real quick before you get started, and Father God, while she was praying, you just highlighted those marriages that are really going through a rocky time. Bring those people to the radio. Let them see the advertisement and let them dial in so that they can listen. But we pray for those who feel like they're at the end and they've been at the table talking divorce, want a divorce, but they're really angry. And so we want to pull down the spirit of anger, bitterness, resentment, and any area of their lives individually and collectively where they are responding out of their emotions. Through these four seasons, allow them to see where they are and touch their hearts so that they will humble themselves to receive from you tonight. And this is our prayer, that you would bring forth restoration and that you would shame the devil and get all of the glory from the restoration and broken marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so the mic is yours. Go forth.
Okay, so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 31. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so before I kind of get into what we're going to talk about, I wanted to first just shout out to our singles. And the reason why I wanted to do a quick shout out to our singles is because they need to know that before they can have a great marriage, that they must take care of those things that hinder them having that. So they experience any type of childhood trauma, like they saw their parents get divorced. They may have seen their single mom with this boyfriend and that boyfriend. They've seen abuse, whether it's physically, emotionally or sexually, or they've been told that they're not good enough or they're not worthy or they won't amount to anything, definitely, definitely seek counseling and receive guidance and direction from Holy Spirit, because you don't want to let the enemy keep you in fear and bondage. And what happens in marriages is the reason why some stay in wintertime longer than they should is because people have hurt and pain and childhood trauma that they have not dealt with. And those things can really, really hinder a relationship from going forward. And so I wanted to definitely shout out to those of you who are single and you're looking to get married. Do everything you can. Seek the counseling you need so that you can be prepared, you can be ready, you can be one, because that way, if you marry someone that's also one like you are one, then y'all can come as one together, as one flesh. You're whole separately, and then you become one flesh. And so it's so important that you do that. And so just wanted to share that real quick with my singles. And hopefully maybe we'll have another, what's it called, for singles, or somebody else will have something specifically for singles. But I just wanted to throw that out there because a lot of times, and this was very interesting, and then I'm going to go for it, but I just have to say this because this is important, it's on my heart. A lot of times when we're being raised by our parents, we are sheltered. So our parents try to keep us from bad relationships. They try to keep us from, you know, the different ills of the world. And then when we finally do, you know, grow up and we get in relationships and we meet people, we don't know how to handle those relationships properly all the time. And we sometimes get ourselves in messes because we wasn't really trained or taught. And so it's so important, you know, because we're raising ourselves while we're raising our kids. You know, we're finally growing up. And we're trying to raise kids and help them grow up. And so a lot of things we don't learn and we're not prepared for. So when it comes to a long-term relationship, we don't know what it looks like all the time. And sometimes we just don't do well. So I just wanted to just bring that out real quick. So now moving forward. So we're talking about the four seasons of marriage. Stacey eloquently said that we also go through four seasons in our own, you know, in as singles, in our life. We go through these seasons in our life, and we have to recognize them and understand what those seasons are. And so we're going to talk about the seasons naturally first. So, of course, we know that in the summertime, the trees and the grass are fully green and lush. We know that the temperatures are usually above 80, so it's hot. The sun is shining, the days are longer, you guys. Singing birds wake you up in the morning. The crickets put you to sleep at night. People are out and about with their tank tops, sundresses, shorts, flip-flops. You know, that's the attire. You know, families are going to the beaches. It's a lot of, you know, vacation. We eat water ice and watermelon and pizza and stuff like that. And when I was younger, we used to turn on the water plugs. Anybody lived in West Philly, we used to turn on the water plugs to cool off. And then, of course, there's a lot of time, you know, it's a time of laughter and, you know, of course, from that relief of the winter months. And so when you think about the summertime in our marriages, then you understand why I titled it Sizzling Summer. And then we want to talk about the fall. And so in the fall, the temperatures are, you know, not too hot, not too cold. Sometimes it's named like one of the best seasons. The green leaves are turning these beautiful colors. It's that brown and that red and that orange. Sometimes it may be chillier nights. People are putting on long sleeve shirts and hoodies. It's less sunlight, longer nights, but that's when the holiday season is about to come up. Comfort foods come out like mac and cheese, stews, and chili. And then people are having, you know, their change from the beaches and the amusement parks. Now they're doing movie nights or hiking in the park. And so you see the difference there. And the fall, reason why we call it laid back fall is because just that, things are a little quieter. It's not as much buzzing around or anything like that. It's quieter during that time.
Birds are a little quieter.
Yeah, a little bit quieter because they're flying away. And then we have the wintertime, and, of course, we're talking about temperatures ranging from 40s and down to zero. Sometimes there's that wind chill factor of the negative digits. You got hats, coats, gloves, boots, scarves. A lot of the trees have lost their leaves. The birds are gone. There's snow and sleet and freezing rain. Even the animals grow a thicker coat so they can deal with the winter. You know, your skin is drier and different things happen like that. And even it has been shown that some people get depressed during the winter because of the guys and less light. Mm-hmm. But then we get blessed because then the spring comes. Yay. So the spring is more, you know, the days start to get longer again. April showers bring May flowers. The trees bloom, the bugs return, the temperature is perfect, it's in the 70s, you know, that 70s with the breeze, grass are being cut, you have some warmer days in the 70s, you know, high 70s, low 80s, you're opening up your windows for fresh air, people are starting to think about vacation, and the season parts about to open, and everything is new again. And so naturally, the seasons change, marriages go through those same type of changes, and how you handle each change will determine how strong and how long your marriage will last. And so my husband and I are going to kind of piggyback off of each other. We want to share some of our own relationship because we believe that we need to be candid about what we went through, some of our strengths, some of our weaknesses, and how we also almost ended up in divorce. And thank God for that we listened to God, listened to the Holy Spirit speaking to us and said no. So Scott said he wanted to start with the spring first. So let's talk about the spring in marriage. So the spring in marriage is that's when you first getting to know each other, you know. And what you were talking about, see, when you read that poem, that's the spring. You know, everything is new. The excitement of creating a new life together is oh God, it's awesome, right?
Right.
It is a joy, a hope, a happiness. You know, couples, they feel animated and buoyant, and their attitudes towards each other, of course, are very positive. You know, they're not in that winter. They're in that whole new side of things. Everything is blooming. Everything is beautiful. As soon as you see that person, your face lights up, you know. There's love letters and poems. There's good morning texts and good night texts. It's just, you know, everything is just so... I can't even, it's just the whipped cream, the great milkshake. Like, you know, when you put that whipped cream and that cherry on top of it, that's the spring in marriages.
Otherwise known as the honeymoon phase.
Yes. You want to add something else, Vic?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's just amazing. You know, like when we first got together, it was amazing. It was like from day one, you know, coming, both of us, being transparent, which is also a key component of relationships. Both of us were coming out of marriages that neither one of us, you know, should have been in because we weren't the right way and we weren't led the right way. We weren't listening to the Holy Spirit as far as who we should be with. So myself, I was going into coming out of a marriage that I got into just because of what people thought it should be, how people perceive me and this person to be. And, you know, me being raised in church and, you know, being, I wasn't a pastor's kid, but I was around the pastor so much that people considered me like his child. And he was somewhat of a father to me. So it was looked at, you're the pastor's son, so you're dating an eldest daughter, so it doesn't look right, you know, the perception of a pastor's child and the eldest daughter being together, you guys should be married. So we got married off that pretense, which was wrong. And it didn't, mean to say, the winter came and it didn't last long. So just being transparent about things that you should be going through. And then came my spring again, which my personal spring became my spring for my next marriage, if that makes sense for you guys. Because you go through your own personal seasons as well. And sometimes, a lot of times in your personal spring, when everything is new and your life is great and everything is just fascinating, that's when you begin your spring in your marriage or your relationship.
Amen. So, yeah, so the spring is like the greatest time. It's a time when you're not, you know, everything is positive. Everything is upbeat. You're looking at, just as the flowers bloom in the spring, your love is blooming and you're growing. But the problem with the spring, though, there's going to be a positive part to the wintertime when we get there. But the negative part of the spring is that sometimes irritations can ruin a bit. So think about a vacation, and it can be those irritations that can ruin that perfect vacation. You know, a dinner can turn into an emotional, fiasco or something like that. And so when you're in the spring and you let things come in that could irritate you or upset, you need to, again, as my husband said, share your irritations, be transparent, because that is very important in your relationship. See each one of the seasons, you're going to see the importance of that transparency. And I am going to talk about why some people aren't transparent and what that leads to. So you need to nurture positive changes and so that you can enjoy not only the spring, but then you can enjoy what comes up in the summer, right? Mm-hmm. If you fail in that new beginning of your relationship, that's a disaster. You can skip the summer and you can slip right into the winter. So in the spring is when you got, because think about it. In the springtime, everything is great, right? You are, even the way they chew is cute in the spring. You know, certain things they may do is cute in the spring. But if you don't talk about those things, if you're not upfront about what irritates you and different things like that, they can be a problem in the winter. So in the spring, you want to be upfront, transparent, and honest. But this is the best, this is the most exciting time in your relationship, and you want to nurture it. The summertime is, I call this sizzling summer because, again, you're coming off of that spring. So you're still, life is still beautiful. You know, you understand each other. Y'all share a deep sense of commitment. You're together. You spend time together. You can't wait to plan that trip together. It's hot. It's a lot, lots and lots of great sex during this time, a lot of fun. You're planning things together. You want to grow together. You want your communication.
You want to be around each other all the time.
Yeah, all the time,
it's crazy.
Right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just want to be with each other. You can't wait to see each other. You can't wait to spend time. Hey, when you want to get home from work, you can't wait until that happens. When they come home from work and then y'all can plan whatever y'all want to do for the day. And it's a beautiful time. Another beautiful time of your marriage, you know, because, hey, you know, some people, did not have sex before they were married. They didn't. They held themselves and saved themselves, just as that poem you said, Stacey. And so when they finally can and God blesses them and it's enjoyable, they want to be able to have it. And trust me, if I got married, I want to be able to have good sex all the time. And so that is very important in a marriage. Thank you for reading that the bed is undefiled, because it sure is sure isn't. And it's awesome to be able to go through this time of your marriage. This is when, like I said, the relationship is hot. You can't keep your hands off each other. You can't wait to hang out. There's a smile on your face every day. Your face lights up when you see them. There's times where my husband and I would be, he and I coach basketball together, and I would be in the gym, you know, doing whatever I need to do, getting my team together, and he's not even in the same place I am, But for some reason, when he walked through the door, I automatically look up. I just happened to look up, and then he walked in the door. And so we had that connection with each other, that, you know, you just connected. You just love each other, and it's an awesome time. The negative to the summer, though, there's a downside, as always, is that those unresolved issues that you had in the spring, mm-hmm. that you didn't take care of, those issues, yep. those, you know, just those little things can sometimes turn into big things, and you can find yourself arguing in the middle of the summer.
It could be simple things like you might not like a certain outfit, or you might not like a certain cologne or perfume, or, you know, you might not like a certain hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I like my wife to wear her hair out and wear it long and natural. You know what I mean? A lot of guys won't tell their spouse, hey, I like your hair natural. They figure, well, as long as I'm giving her money, whatever she needs to do to beautify herself, that's okay with me. And it's really not. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of guys won't tell their significant other, hey, babe, go get your toes and nails done. Well, why? Because I just like you to have your toes and nails done. You know what I mean? And on the flip side of that, it becomes an argument if the wife isn't willing to receive that, I don't want to say criticism, but that that encouragement, you know. Because, you know, I had a friend who his wife would tell him all the time, she used to say, you woofing. He used to be like, he used to get mad. What you mean I'm woofing? You wasn't talking about that, you know, the other day like that to me. Why, you don't like my hair? And it wasn't that she was saying you're woofing like you look bad. She was just like her man to keep his hair cut. You know what I mean? So just little stuff like that. If you don't, you know, be transparent in the very beginning, in the springtime, summertime comes, then those things start to creep up and get irritating. And then you get fall and it gets a little bit chilly in the air and things of that nature. So you got to be transparent in every phase of what you're going through in your relationship. Every season, there's some transparency. You have to sit down and have that conversation about what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that he brought up that, you know, a wife saying to her husband, you're woofing. And he got upset. But times when those little things are not taken care of, the enemy can easily slip in and then cause that wedge between you. And so now you're going into a fall time in your marriage. And the thing about the fall is that it can be a beautiful time. It's where you kind of settle in. In your marriage, you start to really learn each other. You know that he likes blue instead of red. You understand that if I go to the store and buy myself a Snickers, I really should get him a Milky Way. You understand that, nope, when I fix his plate, he likes pepper on his food. He likes his food popping hot, and he likes a piece of bread on the side. You start to learn those little things about each other, and they are so important because a person appreciates you taking the time to learn who they are. They appreciate the fact that you are looking at them for them, not judging them or whatever, and you really are, you know, paying attention to their needs. And it's so important. Because a lot of times, I know I keep saying the word so important, but it is. Because if you don't understand who I am and understand my likes and dislikes, you're not taking the time to get to know who I am as a person. And when people don't do that, it makes the other person, the spouse, feel like they are not important, that they're not worth anything, that this person doesn't love me the same way I love them. And so depending on what you do in the spring and the summer, depending on how you pray together, you fast together, you continue to have God in your relationship, you do things together, you work as one, those things will lead into a fall where it's cozy. Because remember I told you fall time, you got chili and you got come out, the comfort foods come out, sweaters come out. I love the fall because I can wear my stretch pants with a big sweater and some boots.
That's cuddle time.
Like, babe, we want to sit by the fireplace. We have this fake fireplace. It's an electric one, but it's so daggone pretty because it's like different colors and it has some rocks on the bottom of it. And it's actually very cozy and makes our living room a nice space.
And so we, you know, we like to have that, even if we're sitting in two separate spots. This being in the presence of each other, it gets comfortable. And that's what the fall should be. But unfortunately, if you don't take care what we, Scott and I just talked about, being transparent, being upfront, being honest, being real in your relationship, that fall would come in and it would look like your relationship is okay externally. But it's actually not. The happy couple is not really as happy as they seem.
And then comes the harsh winter.
Yes, and the harsh winter will follow that. You know, when you are, they can, the couples can either, this is a crossroads. Because the fall, you can either do one or two things. You can, it's almost like a fork in the road. You can say, nope, we're turning back. We're going back to summer. We're going to get this right. We're going to go back into the summer and the spring of our relationship. Or we're going to argue. We're going to fuss. We're going to show resentment and apprehension and rejection. And we're going to argue. And we're going to be selfish because our needs are not met. And then we're going to end up in the winter time. And that time is not a great time when you come off of the fall that way. And so what do we say about the winters in our marriages and in our lives? What do we say about that winter time when it comes? And I believe that Stacey has a song that she can play now that talks about here comes the winter, but then it tells you that in order for you to get through the winter, because remember we told you that the winter time will come. There will come a time when you don't want to talk to each other for a moment. I'm going to go in my room, you go in your room. It's okay. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you need your space. But what you need to do is store up love. That means store up that love during the spring, the summer, and the fall, so that when the winter does come, you are prepared, you are ready. Think about a squirrel. Squirrels gather up all their squirrel nuts, them in their tree or their little place, and then they, when the wintertime comes and nothing else is falling off the trees, they're good because they got their food. And so we store up love. We are transparent. We are loving. We are caring. We don't take advantage of each other. We're honest and upfront with each other. So when the fall does come, we can either settle in and just love on each other, or if we don't take care of those issues, we'll end up in the winter.
Absolutely.
Well, this is really good. And for those of you that are listening, we want you, this is going to be interactive in a little bit. We're going to open up the mics. But if you do have a question or a comment, please press 1. At this time, I want to introduce our special guest. Her name is Lyrical 7, a.k.a. Tanya Griffin, and she is a well-known spoken word artist. And I'm going to introduce her so that you all can say hi. And Tanya, I would like for you to comment on what you heard so far. And after she comment and you guys comment, I'm going to play the song Winter. But then she's going to present her piece, Millicent, about love. So this really, really flowed. Yes, it just flowed. God is just really having his way. Welcome, Lyrical 7, to the mic. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing, Stacey? It's such an honor and a pleasure to even, you know, be here. So thank you for the invite.
You're welcome. So what do you think so far? What has stood out to you?
I mean, I think that the subject matter is so important because we normally just, you know, we get caught up in the idea of marriage without really understanding exactly what it's about. We get caught up on what society has dictated marriage is, what Disney movies and, you know, just movies in general have shown us what marriage looks like. And all we get caught up in is the bliss of things. and we don't really prepare ourselves adequately for the other seasons that are naturally going to come when you're talking about dealing with relationships. And so I just appreciate, you know, you all just sharing and being transparent, even with your own marriage, and so that, you know, people are thinking about marriage holistically and thinking about, okay, how do I prepare for these seasons? And like you said, it's the small things that sometimes escalate into bigger things. And so I think the meat of what you all are sharing is just pure wisdom. And I'm praying that everyone, including myself, just take away these gems and apply it to our own lives, to our own relationships.
Amen.
That is powerful. And you know what? What was standing out to me is regardless of what season you're in, effective communication is key. And
very key.
You have to be able to talk to each other and not at each other, because you could be in the spring season, but they could be in the winter spring season, and you go to talk, and it's going to be so cold you could catch pneumonia. Like, hey, what's up with that? And, you know, that coldness, they got attitude. They don't want to talk. And, you know, I hear so much about marriages where they go for days without speaking to each other. And that is just crazy, you know. And I do like the realness that you guys brought to the table. And it is real refreshing when we can be transparent, because sometimes people think they're the only ones. So if you're listening and you're saying, wow, I could be myself, I'm not the only one. No, you're not. And it's okay, because we're not perfect, but we're trying to become better in our marriages. With, well, I'm prophesying to myself because my husband is on the way.
Amen.
But we're going to play the song Winter, and after the song finishes, Lyrical 7 will go forth with her poem, and then we could talk about her poem, and then we'll turn the mic back over to you, Millicent, and Scott. All right, hold on.
Okay.
Sidewalks free, oh no, I see wind blow, rattle windows, oh no, here it comes, the winter of our love, I pray it is alone. But
this piece that I want to do is called A Different Kind of Love. Stacey, do I have the floor to go ahead and minister this?
Yes, you do. And just give your name so that those that are listening, they may have just tuned in so that they know who you are.
Thank you so much. My name is Tanya Griffin, a.k.a. Lyrical 7 is the stage name that I go by. And this piece that I am about to do, I'm a spoken word artist, previously residing in the Northern Virginia area, recently moved to Atlanta, then from Atlanta to Charlotte, North Carolina. So, but this piece was called A Different Kind of Love. It says, you uplift and make me forget the problems that surround me, all around me inconsistencies consistently, blind me to love sick infirmary. You even love my idiosyncrasy, having the decency to decently wait on me, hand and foot, but my mouth carried the disease that placed you underfoot, overlooked, underpaid and overbooked, and yet you looked. To see beyond the now into my future, you saw how you could Uber me to safety to safely suture my wounds from intruders trying to consume my flesh like vultures. You are a trooper. Your humor makes me forget my rainy days. Nowadays, I reminisce about your amazing ways. To paraphrase, I miss you. I see through the lies told about you. You see, it wasn't about you. It was my selfishness and pride that caused me to look at the other side like it was greener and sweeter, but it was neither. Synthetic fibers woven in disguises. What I realized is the grass is not greener on the other side. It's just made to look that way, to hide the dye of falsified advertisements to please the eye, to pacify, not satisfy. I was displeased inside. In fact, mummified my dreams and purpose. It was done on purpose, hoping I forget my purpose and the fact that you purchased my freedom. Yeah. I was a slave to my destructive ways, which weighed heavy on my shackles and chains displayed for the world to see the folly of my ways. Your love outweighed decades of error displayed. None was an excuse to blockade your love that ceased to fade. Others portrayed while I betrayed, and yet you stayed. And even now, your love cascades over the mountains of my complexities. It leaves me perplexed, you see. It's the rarities of agape that astound me. What surrounds me? Shh. You hear that? Listen. It's nothing. It's the nothing that has taken over. Complete exposure. My life is over, I thought. But just then you pulled me closer, writing symphonies on the tablets of my heart like a composer. I thought it was over. Our relationship condemned like one in foreclosure. I was the provoker, joker, the seriousness of your intentions left you a loner. Though you preferred not to, treated you mediocre, made it easy for poachers, had my mug on a poster. My scent gave off a hint of betrayal that derailed me from the devotion I failed. Entangled in webs of deceit, my heart misleads. I retreat from false leaves that leave leaves withered and decayed internally. It's my turn to see what was always there to see through my obstacles. It was optional, but I came back from prodigal, diabolical, chronological plots to mess with my psychological well-being. It kept me from seeing. The only one I was cheating was myself, placed on the shelf, taking a time out to learn to love myself. Love thyself. Yes, love thy neighbor as thyself, but first you have to learn to love yourself before you can love anybody else. You taught me that. In fact, your love was an addition to the subtraction that equaled the X factor to the second power plus the power of one, intelligently configured so that we would equate as one, yet independently apart but never apart, confused on that part? So am I. But it worked for us. Thus, This love was made for us. So, there you have it. A different kind of love. What more is there to discuss?
Wow. Very good.
Wow.
I like that. That was powerful.
That was very powerful.
Come on, family. Let's give it back. Give it back to her. Tell her what stood out to you.
Because you just documented all four seasons.
And like, yeah, you
in
killed
that
it.
One poem. And then you brought it back. That's what's up. That is what's
and then
up.
You know what happened? And then the Holy Ghost said, how you like me now?
How you like me? That is what's up.
Wow. Yeah.
That is
so
good.
So thank you so much, Lyrical. I'm going to leave you your mic open so you could just stay a part of the conversation.
Sure.
And we do, Millicent and Scott, we do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring them on.
Okay.
Cool.
Caller with the last four numbers ending in 2015, welcome to the mic. You're on the air.
Don't be embarrassed.
267-663-2015. You have a question or a comment? They might have their phone on mute. If you have your phone on mute, if you take your phone off mute, then we can hear you. Okay, well, we could move on with the conversation. Caller with the last four numbers, 2015. When you are ready, just acknowledge that you are there, and we'll address your comment. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you to everyone that is listening. And if you do have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your phone. And I wanted to comment about the poem because, yes, she hit every season that you guys talk about. And what is standing out to me is, you know, loving yourself and not settling for less.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because a lot of times we just want to be loved so bad, and we'll go with the first thing that comes along just to say, I got a man or I have a woman. But that poem was demanding respect. And it's like we have to understand who we are and what we bring to the table. Even in our brokenness, even in our woundedness, there's purpose. And it's so important that we do take that time to get healed so that our love can be pure and not tainted. Because sometimes that prevents us from loving freely. Because you could be in love, but your love placed boundaries and restrictions and limitations. And so your spouse may be out on the edge, but you may be hiding back by the tree because it's just too, you know, the height is just too high and you can't go that far. So, you know, it really makes a difference.
It also piggybacks off of what you're saying. It also goes with knowing your personal seasoning. As well, because sometimes you could be in the summer or spring and your spouse could be going through something and they're in their winter. So then you create when you think about winter and storms, you create a hurricane because now you have that warm flowing air is clashing with the cold air. So now it's creating a hurricane in your relationship because I'm in warm, cold air. I'm in warm air, she's in cold air, so now we don't know how to communicate or we're not being transparent with each other where we are. So now we have a hurricane, which is making things way worse than what they could be because we're not understanding where we are in our personal season as well as understanding where we are in our relationship season, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And you know what? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Stacey. I'm sorry.
This is 2015. I was having difficulties with my phone.
How are you?
My girlfriend, Millie, had informed us about you know, sent me a text about this. So this is Renee. I wanted to say that, one, I enjoyed the poem. The poem was beautiful, and it hit a lot of areas where I can relate to, but also the message about the different seasons, how, you know, both parties in a marriage, how to relate to each other, how not to relate to, or you're off. Like you said, seasons off. It opened up a set of lens in my eyes to understand some stuff where you kind of question yourself when you also have conversation with your girlfriends or friends and you say, oh, I wanted all males to read it from the same book, you know, but it kind of like connects the dots to help me to understand what I'm dealing with or what I'm coping with to get through the season. So I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate the fact that hearing from a male and a female married couple, how they can be able to sit there and share the information. It was truly, truly, I took it in and I'm feeding off of it, put you like that.
Amen. Man, that's what's up. That is what's up, because when you, all it takes is taking, getting information and then be willing to utilize it. You know, when we were talking about the different marriages and the seasons, we didn't really talk about winter as much because we all know what a winter time is like. It's harsh, and there's, you know, like my husband said, sometimes there's, you know, storms, snowstorms, hurricanes, and different things are happening, and that's the time when, you know, different things can creep in if you don't take care of it. But the thing about it is there is hope. A marriage won't be beyond hope unless somebody is just really, really, I mean, it's just some crazy stuff that you have to leave. You know, somebody is abusing you physically. They're abusing you. They're abusing their children. They're doing things that is criminal. Then that's, yes, you need to go. But in the case of, you know, we're just arguing, we're not seeing eye to eye, that can be repaired, and you can seek counsel and pray together and seek God to see what, you know, what we need to do to change our situation. I was looking at scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, and I was looking at verse 8, because even when we're all high or storm, as we should love each other, we should love our spouse. And 1 Peter 4, 8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So even though we make mistakes in our marriages, even though things don't work out the way we think, there is not under really take selfishness out, and both of you are willing to work on your relationship. Now, as I stated before, that's how I was going to be honest, and I love the poem that you shared because when you're in a winter season, different, I said, can creep up. You're, you know, satisfied in your relationship. It's cold. You know, like the song was saying, it's a, you know, a bed of sleep. No legs to warm my feet under the covers. You know, different things like, and so it leads to different things. In our case, it led to us committing, actually cheating on each other. We cheated on each other. I moved out. We, you know, didn't talk. We broke up the family. The kids were separated. And it was just a mess. And it took 2 years for us to get our lives together. I had to stop being angry and mad. Like, how can he do this to me? Because I did this, that for him. And I was always in his court. And I was always with him. And how dare he is. And I'm, well, I can do it. Into that whole thing. I'm going to share just a little bit of
that. Yeah, like you know, we went through our thing, and, you know, it's just at our winter where, you know, one of us is in deep in winter, and another one of us was in summer, and it created a hurricane, and that hurricane, you know, heating crept in. Finger crept in. You know, well, she did this, and she keep nagging me about that. She keep talking about this. Well, you know what? We went our separate ways in their long winter. In that winter, like I said, I learned I speak for me as a man. I learned how to, bro, you got to sit back and take blame for your part and how you create this storm. What did you do that you can change to make this winter end smoothly and become a brighter winter so that you can go into the spring and have a... So I had to be transparent with myself and stop myself and say, what can I do to make my upcoming better? And a lot of us don't do that. We're so busy, like you said, we're so busy putting a finger at the other party or your couple about what they did and how smooth and how they operated and how they treated you instead of saying, wait a minute, well, maybe if I would have done this, if she would have done that or he would have done that. You know, you don't take the time to think about your actions, because every action, there's a reaction. So your action could have caused a reaction that could have been avoided if you had just been transparent in the beginning, transparent all the time. Like, when you feel like my wife now, I feel like things, a winter's coming, I tell her, like, yo, babe, yo, we got to chill. Like, it's time to lock everybody out. It's time to go into me and you, and we got to get this right. I ain't going through that stuff, or I ain't doing that. So, and that's just with a lot of prayer, a lot of God, and that's the Holy Spirit that guides me and matures me to understand that it's a rough renegade come. I need to get prepared for that. I need to, A, prepare myself so that I can prepare my wife, and we be prepared together. This winter cuddling and being cozy and being up in the fireplace, out in the cold, shivering, looking like, you know, Boo Boo the Clown, and wondering why I'm so cold. I'm getting frostbite. Well, because you wasn't preparing yourself right in the beginning of the winter. You saw it coming. You just chose to keep going the wrong way. You know, so like I said, you can recover from it. It's just how you prepare yourself to keep these things coming. These things, and they're going to come more than one. You know, we've been married for 20 years. Been together 24 years, so a lot of winters, a lot of summers, and a lot of springs. And the springs were awesome.
Yeah.
And they were great. So every now and then, what we try to do, when I see a winter, I try to recreate a spring. Let's get away, babe. Let's go to, you know, shut everybody out for a couple of days. Go to a hotel, or, you know, let's go to Baltimore, or let's jump a plane and go to Vegas, or whatever. You know, whatever you need to do to get back to that spring, you need to do that. Because if you don't, you're going to have problems. It's going to be a really, really, really cold winter. And I don't like winter. I'm a summer baby. So you bring summer all day. I could deal with fall, but I really don't like winter. So the best I can get through the winter, and as cozy, warm I could be in the winter, I'd be free.
And that's up, babe. That is so true, because each one of the seasons has a component, a negative and a positive component. Again, that negative component is whether or not you're going to be willing to communicate, be transparent. And a lot of times what I was going to say was when people aren't transparent and out of front, it's because of fear. They fear that the person is going to throw it back up in the face. They fear that, you know, if I'm up front and real and myself, the person is going to reject me.
They feel embarrassed.
They feel embarrassed, and all those different things. But if you just be upfront and just be honest, you know, even before you even get married, I'm talking about before the marriage, when you're dating, when you're in that summer and springtime, when you're dating each other, that's when you really need to be transparent. I need to know what you're about, bruh. I need to know what you're about, sis. You know, there's people who have gotten married. Trust me, we know it. They've gotten married and found out that their wife was in the swinging, but she wasn't honest about that in the beginning, and he's not about that, but she is. So then here you go. Now y'all married, and she got somebody on the side, and he don't even know it because she's involved in things that, you know, he never knew. But if they would have been transparent, they probably wouldn't have gotten married anyway, or there may have been prayer and some deliverance that went on, you know, if that person is supposed to be your spouse. So that's what I mean about people sometimes are not transparent because they feel as though they're going to be rejected and they really, really, really want this person. But that's deception,
and that will come out. And then when that comes out in the winter, that you've been deceptive, it's a bad thing. So please, if you're single, if you're dating right now, if you met somebody that you feel as though, oh, this person is probably the one, this is the time that you be upfront. This is the time that you be honest. This is the time that you seek counsel. Don't go into a marriage unadvisedly. Do not go into any relationship unadvisedly for that fact. But definitely don't go into a marriage. Don't go into a relationship like this unadvisedly, because it could be very, very damaging. God delivered us. God, the Holy Spirit worked with me and my husband. It was for us to be together. And thank God that we listened and we were able to renew our vows. We were able to, you know, get our lives together. And not that we're perfect. We still have times when I'd be like, you go in another room. I'm going in my room. You know, we still had those times like, I don't feel like going out. I'm eating this. I'm not going to eat that. You know, whatever. But those winter times are few and far between. And that's how it should be. That's what you want. So you store up that love so that when the winter time does come, because it will, because you will be tested. It will be tried to get to it. You'll know, oh, that's time. This is what we need to do. Let's jump in. So that's what I wanted to say to you.
No, I mean, that's something up in it. Just understand, first of all, to become one. It's not, you know, well, misconception. I hate when people say, man is the head of the household. Take that too far to me. Yes, the man is the head of the household, but I can't be one without my wife. If I'm making a decision, I'm the head of the house, my wife is not, then we have to agree.
Scott, you're breaking up again.
I'm sorry. So, repeat what I said. They always said the man is the head of the household. I understand that, but my thing is, if I'm the head of the household, then my wife has to be one with me. I can't make a decision without her being on board and knowing that this is a decision together. You know, not me making the decision. I'm the head of the household. I'm you know, the king, this castle. No, that works. And a lot of times that gets taken out of context when they say that. You are one. So when any decision that needs to be made in your house, as a man, you talk to your woman. Because I'm going to tell you, fellas, from experience, a woman's intuition is the best thing in the world. Fellas, trust me when I tell you, my wife has gotten me, her intuition has gotten me out of some things. I'm like, whoa, I'm glad I listened to her and didn't go that way. You know what I mean? It's amazing, a woman's intuition. So you have a woman that your ride or die, that's your boot thing, your everything. Listen to intuition when she says, babe, I don't think we should do that this way. You know, don't get stubborn and bullheaded as some of us men. Oh, we going that way because that's how we going. I'm the man. I got this. Okay, well, you got this, and now y'all in trouble. You know, simple stuff like, you know, y'all might be buying a house. The man wants a $300,000 house. The wife says, no, you know what? Here we can get for $250. Well, I want this $300,000 house. Nah, babe, but we can get this house for $250. It's got everything else, everything we need and we want. Well, no, it don't have TV room. I want those. I want it. Oh, well, nah, babe. Then you get that $300,000 house. 6 months later, y'all struggling. I mean, you should have listened to your wife's intuition and got a $250,000 house. Simple little stuff can go a long way. So, fellas, you gotta, and I'm speaking to fellas directly as a man. When you find that one that you say that's the one, first of all, know that God has sent it to you, that this is from God, number one. Number two, understand what you have. Understand the power and the anointing comes with a woman. And it's just an awesome thing to be able to share and bless people and just give our personal testimony about how, you know, we got through our winter. And, you know, now we have a lot of great spring and summers. We do have winter, but they're more cuddling and getting to know each other and you know, talking about what we're going to do next spring, you know, how we're going to rebuild and create something new in the next spring.
That's powerful. That's very powerful. And this, I want to elaborate on Genesis 2:18 about the helpmeet, but I'm going to wait because Tanya wanted to say something. And Renee, I wanted to say thank you for your contributions. And I'm going to leave your mic open so that you can continue with the panel discussion as well. So, Lyrical, you could go ahead with your remarks. And then after that, I will share my comment, the piggyback off of what Scott just said, the charge. And if for all of the men that are listening, he just released a prophetic word to you all. And he provided instructions on how to cooperate with your current wife or with your fiance for those that are in the process of getting married. I'm going to provide a biblical prescription from God's word to just go in a little deeper with that, because when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. He finds favor with the Lord, but you also have a helpmate, and your wife is there to help you, to guide you, to counsel you, and to warn you. And I'm going into it now, so I'm just going to, like, stop a minute and just let Tanya go ahead with her comments. But this is delicious. And it's like, you know, a lot of marriages are suffering because they're not getting nutritious meals. They're not learning, you know. We are believers, and so we go with the Bible, yes, but I have different friends, and especially like a lot of Muslims, where marriage is sacred to them. You know, they following different rules, but we all following the same precept. And, you know, without love, without honor, without respect, your marriage going to be in trouble. But, you know, marriage is important no matter what the faith is, and it's a high standard because God is the, like, vocal. He is the pinnacle. And if we begin with God, stay with God, you know, you're going to go through these seasons, but he's going to be there. So, Lyrical 7, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much. Scott pretty much, like, summed up what I was going to say. So, you know, God is truly, like, in the mix. And I'm sorry for my background noise. I got, like, I'm with family, so I got kids and dogs and all kinds of stuff going on in the background. But I just wanted to say basically what motivated me to write A Different Kind of Love. And it's because, and you all have touched on it so beautifully, we always want to look at what other people have done against us, the wrong that we have been done. But it's harder for us to look at how we've also wronged other people.
Yeah.
And so I was in a relationship at the time, and I was just like pointing out everything wrong. Everything wrong with this relationship, but everything that the guy did wrong, I felt, to me. And as I was, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, you know, whatever, the Holy Spirit stopped me, like, in mid, you know, sentence and was like, but what wrong have you done? And, you know, it's like, wait, what do you mean what wrong? I'm good, you know, I'm good. And he began to just show me myself. And that's what the word does. Like, the word is like a mirror. And just when you want to apply something to someone else, the Holy Spirit shows you where it applies to yourself. And so not only did the Holy Spirit show me the wrong that I myself have done against the guy in the relationship, but he also went a step further and began to show me the wrong that I did to him in our relationship.
Yeah.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I really, like, wept, and I repented because, again, it's always easier to point that finger and always easier to talk about how we've been victimized And I'm not taking anything away. Yes, I mean, there were things that he did wrong, but there also were things that I did wrong that I didn't want to face, that I didn't want to look at. And as God began to show me not just the wrong that I did in that relationship, but the wrong that I have done in our relationship, his relationship and my relationship, this is what poured out a different kind of love, because even though I wronged, God still loved me. He still loves me. He still chases after me. He still blesses me. He still keeps me. Grace is still abundant in my life, even though I've done him wrong. And the kicker is that he has never wronged me.
Amen.
And so I just wanted to share a context behind where this piece came from.
Wow, that's awesome. And that's what I was talking about, you know, with me, like, you know, again, just the Lord said, hey, you know what? You did some wrong here. You can't, it ain't all about her doing wrong. You did some wrong. Let's work on your wrong, and then we can get this right. And the same thing with her.
Exactly.
On your wrong, then we can get this right. And once you accept that you were wrong, and you admit that you were wrong, then comes, now I got to go apologize.
Yes.
That's the healing part now. Now I got to go apologize. And that's something that we do. We okay, I was wrong, but for what? It happened now. Nah, it goes to what it happened now. Now you got to go back and apologize. Once, because what happens is once you do that, now years down the line, or whatever may come, and that same situation come back up, whoa, you know what? I'm cool. I apologize about that. You can't throw that over my head anymore. You can't beat me with that no more. I let that go. I have moved on.
Amen.
I'm a better person. You know what I mean?
Amen.
So you got to be willing to be 100% transparent with yourself, with spouse. I mean, it's just amazing the transformation that I went through in becoming a better man and a better father and a better husband. Going through that 2-year separation, just understanding what my role is, number one, as a husband to my wife, understanding what her role is as a wife to me, and then learning how to get out of self and learn how to, we can make this work together. And when sometimes I start getting into self, it's like, you know what, Lord, I'm not feeling this. Lord will say, okay, well, what are you going to do to change that? You going to keep acting like a fool? You going to keep doing the same stupid stuff? Or are you going to do what I'm telling you and go down the path that I'm lighting for you and reap the benefit?
Wow. That is so powerful. And I'm going to connect that with Millicent when you were saying sometimes people are afraid to say things. And I want to connect, like, the beginning process before you actually come together. When you go to a store to buy a refrigerator or a washing machine or even to get a car, you're going to do a test drive. You want to look at the manual. You want to, like, how many cycles can this wash, medium, large, you know. You investigate and you ask questions. So in a relationship, you need to do the same thing. So if you're fearful and you're afraid to say something about yourself, or you're afraid to tell that person that they do something that you don't like, and then you accept it before you get married, but in your mind you think one, after y'all get married you're going to change that person, it happens all of the time. That's a big no-no.
Oh,
if
absolutely.
If you don't like what you see now, it doesn't mean that the relationship is over, but we need to address it. Because if we draw a conference table, we draw that line down that paper, we put the negatives and the positives, well, baby, this is what you do, and I don't like this. And then whatever his response is, he come back. And together you both decide, can we throw that in the trash because it serves no purpose and have no value with building us together? Or can we move, make improvements with this negative and move it over to the positive column? And I use a conference table just about with everything. But, you know, some things we need to get rid of, but some things we need to just perfect it and make it work because it can. But that's where we have to kind of sacrifice a little bit, you know, but we still need to be honest because many people, they accept behaviors that they know they don't like. And you settle for less when you do that. And then later when it happens in the relationship, the enemy is just waiting for an opportunity to totally irritate you to no end with that behavior. And then you're going to be frustrated. The spirit of exasperation going to slap you in the face. And here we come. We talked about winter storms, but we ain't talk about the ice storm. And, you know, that's what was standing out to me because I've watched the show with the trucks that drive through the ice and all that stuff is very dangerous. But you don't want to be in an ice storm in your marriage. And you could end up with one in the spring, summer, winter, whichever season it is. But we have to be honest with our likes and our dislikes. And just because you dislike something about your mate, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world, but it's areas where we could grow because we're not going to like everything. We're not going to agree on everything, but we can agree to disagree in love. But I think it's real important what Millicent said, that things that need to be put on the table, be honest about it, especially if it hurts, if it's wounds. Like, just say, what's in your heart? Because if you enter into the marital relationship with a hole in your soul or a hole in your heart, at some point in the relationship, it's going to affect all of your seasons.
Yep.
And the marriage will suffer greatly.
Great.
Yes, it will.
So the mic, whoever wanted, go. This is really good.
Very good. So I just have a couple of things here. So the questions, you know, there's some questions you can ask, and there's some things that you can do to show that you support your spouse. You always ask, like, what can I do to help you? How can I make your life, you know, how can I be a better husband or wife? You know, be there, encourage them, you know, take supportive action, provide emotional support, and express respect for your spouse. Like, one thing that that you should not do is argue with your spouse in public. If you have a gripe, hold it or text each other back and forth. But don't argue loudly with your spouse in front of people. Or don't show your anger or your frustration. Because that's not for other people to be a part of that. That is for you to do that in private. You know, respect each other. That is so key. The Bible talks about the husband and the wife as Christ loves the church. And it tells the wife to respect her husband. But the man is also respecting the wife because the next verse says, submit to one another. And so when you submit to one another, then you will be respect each other and care about each other's feelings. You don't want to embarrass your man, ladies, in front of people. That is not cool and is not godly. So you want to encourage each other, be each other's bodyguard, be each other's confidant. So if your man says something to you that he went through as a child, don't throw that back up in his face. Don't use that as leverage to manipulate. And that's things that happen in marriages where people use things, and that's why some people are not transparent, because they're very afraid that the person is going to, like I said, either reject them or they're going to use it against them. And we have got to start being godly in our relationships with each other. Definitely seek counsel. You know, talk to another couple, but be ready to be upfront again and be honest and be transparent. And also look at yourself and not just, as y'all already said, don't point the finger. Look at each other. I mean, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at where you need to grow and mature. Because if you do that, then that person is also willing to grow and mature in the relationship. Just because you've been married 50 years doesn't mean you're mature in your relationship. You just dealt with each other because that's the only new to do.
Especially, and I don't know why the Lord is dealing with the men, but men, we got to get out of this whatever the wife wants.
Ah.
Just giving her what she wants because we don't want her to argue or we don't want to hear her mouth or, you know, we don't want to, we want to do what we want to do. So I just let her do what she wants. You know, as long as she don't bother me, I'm fine. That is so backwards. You know, like, you know, support your wife. You know what I mean? Because she's supporting you. Like, I support my wife. Everything that she does. You know, at our church, when she has to speak or she has to do something, I'm there. With bells on, like, yeah, I'm here. What's up? You know what I mean? You know, when I have to do something, she's there. You know what I mean? We're that backbone for each other, not just in the house, but outside the house. And that key, I see so many men, they put them on and go shop with their wife. Well, why not? If she's getting on my nerves, I ain't got time for all that. Then, dude, you kind of unbalanced there, bro. Because when you want to watch a football game, she going to want to come watch a football game with you. What you going to say? Oh, it's only for men? Nah, you know, I love a couple that we can go to their house and they both in the sport. It's awesome to me. You know, to see a female talk about football and know what she's talking about. I'm a sports fan, but I'm a football. My wife says I talk football all day. I use all kinds of scenarios in football. You know, I can sit here and go into how a marriage is like a football team.
Yes, you can. Don't let them do it, though. Tell them to
you know,
stop.
With the components, you have a head coach, which is God. You have the quarterback, which is the husband. You got the running back, which is the what? It's all one team. Let the coach direct the quarterback, and then the rest of the team are falling through.
Yeah, I'm just
saying.
I tried to stop.
I can go there with you, but I'm not going to.
But it's so good. He can. He literally can. And he just did it. He just gave you a sample of it. But yes, that what he's saying, please, man, I'm telling you, and I'm listening to my husband, the Holy Spirit is using him, you know, whatever.
Yes, he is.
Listen, because it's so key. Stop being bullheaded. Stop thinking you the dude, you the man, you the it. Like, stop it. Like, work together as a team. Listen to each other, cooperate with each other. And if you really can't do that, then you should not be married.
You shouldn't be
because there's no way that you can be in a relationship. You can take two girlfriends. They hanging out, they best friends. They hang out. They still have to have a respect for each other and a care for each other and not backbite and argue with each other and gossip on each other. You know, you don't do that. I don't talk to your man that you used to talk to today or whatever. I shouldn't, you know, like you just broke up with him, you know, a month ago and then I'm talking to him. Like, what? That's messing up with the girl code. You know, so just being girlfriends together, you know, there's certain things or having a dude that's your best boy or whatever, having those relationships, you know, certain code. There's a certain way you treat each other. And so when you get into a marriage, which is an even higher relationship, there's a certain way you should treat each other. And that's with love and with respect. You know, love covers a multitude of sins because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. But thank God for God's mercy, and we should show the same to each other.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, I want to jump in. Scott, where's your offering plate? Because you need an offering tonight. Thank you so much for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, what you're saying needs to be said. Huh?
Sometimes you just got to go there. I mean, you know, and the Holy Spirit's just been dealing with me with just men and how we've taught for so long, so a lot of backward stuff about relationships and what it takes to make a relationship work. And it's really not that hard. It's really not.
It's not.
It's not that, you know what I mean?
It's not at all.
Yeah, you want to be a man, but you want to learn how to be a godly man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And being a godly man, sometimes you got to sit back and listen and let your helpmate tell you something that you okay, I got it, babe. Yeah, you know what? That makes sense. Let me do it this way. And you'll feel a lot better. You'll feel a lot
better.
You
know,
when you do go through. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead and finish.
And when you do go through things as a couple, it becomes easier because you have that helpmate and you guys are, again, the two become one. You can't have two become one and then the man is the only one making the decisions. That makes no sense. the two become one. So every decision that's made in our household, we sit down and we talk about it. And we come to understand. We come to understand this is how it's going to operate, this is what we need to do, and then we go put it in action. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. how it should be done. That's exactly how it should be done. You know, there's times me and my wife, we'll be riding in the car, and she'll be like, let's pray about something. You know, something going on, she'll be like, let's pray. And I'll be like, all right, you know, let's pray. Or I'll say, let's pray about this. All right, let's pray. You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit, it'll lead us and it'll guide us, and we'll get through the situation. You know what I mean? You know, even with your kids, with whatever, and keep the outside influences away. What I mean by that is, a lot of times as men and women, we go through something with our husband or spouse. What's the first thing we do? Fellas go call it home. Yo, I'm stressing. Go shoot some pool. Yeah, okay, you're shooting some pool. You got five guys. Two of them is married. The other three ain't. So why are you talking to the three that's not married? Because they don't have a clue on how to sustain the marriage because they're not married yet. And then one of the two that's in the marriage, he's doing his thing. He don't even understand what marriage is because he wasn't so tight. But you got that one that says, bro, you should do this, that, and that. You got to, the Holy Spirit needs to guide you all the time. You know what I mean? I've been one that has, I don't put my marriage out to my friends anyway. My friends know, like, I'm not going to talk to y'all about what goes on in my household because it ain't none of y'all business. Now, if you want to ask me how to sustain your relationship, I can give you pointers and point you in the right direction, but I'm not going to give you what goes on in my household. You know what I mean?
And so, on that note, Scott, what I want to say is thank you for your transparency, and I want to just give an example of what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I met Millicent in college. She just graduated, but I'm still in school. And every event that we had at school, her husband was there. Scott was there. And so I'm thinking, hey, he must go to the school too. Right. But he does not. He was there to support her through everything. Every event, he was there. They was together. And it's like if you see one, you see the other. And I saw such a love between the two of them and such harmony that it really, really touched my heart to say, wow, this is what a godly marriage looks like. But you can see the depth of the love that they have for each other. Now, Millicent has the kind of marriage, and I'm not saying that their marriage is perfect because, you know, I don't know them like that, but I know that they do approach everything from a biblical perspective, as you all have heard from their testimony. But she has the type of marriage with her husband that many women are jealous and envious of her, because they long for a man to be emotionally available to her, if that makes sense. And Scott is emotionally available to her. He is mentally, physically, I don't know, they love light, but the Lord says sexually, and that's all a part of marriage too. It's like, it's so many parts that we could really go deep with this. So I know I'm going to invite you guys back to go, you know, a little deeper. But when that harmony is there, when that unity is there, and it all comes back to the word. In Ephesians 5:33, it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. And then it says, and the wife see that she reverence him. Reverence her. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Millicent really reverences her husband, and she honors him. And she's not afraid to say, hey, I'm sorry, boo, I made a mistake. Like, she's very, like, if you don't know her, she's very brutal. She's brutally honest, but she speaks the truth in love. But if Scott getting on her nerves, she's going to be like, look, you getting on my nerves. go in the other room, like she said. Like, she will tell him. And I mean,
get away from me. I need a moment. Okay, all
right.
Well, need a moment.
Right, and he understand that. But I'm quite sure they had opportunities to grow with that. But to know that you can say that and he's not going to be offended, you know, that's being transparent. It's being honest. But I just want to say this part. When a man loves his wife as he loves himself, from a biblical perspective, only God can do that. But he has to be in a love relationship with God first. And so when he's able to do this, he's able to endure all things with her, regardless of what season she's in, because of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Love bears all things, love believes all things, love hope all things, love endures all things, and love never fails. And if love did fail, we would not have heard their testimony tonight. They were separated. They went their own separate ways. They cheated on each other. But listen, love did not fail. So somebody might be listening tonight, and your expectations may have been very low before you started listening to this broadcast tonight. But I believe that your expectations are high now because of their testimonies, because of the seasons that they shared, because of the poem and the testimony from Lyrical 7, because of the testimony from Renee, and everything that has been shared. So we want to give those that have a comment or a question to press 1 so that we could bring you on the mic so you can thank Mr. and Mrs. Murray or comment or ask them a question or just say thank you, just a word of encouragement. We are coming to the end of the show, and I want to thank you both so much from the bottom of my heart. This has been really good, and I'm going to ask our guests to give their closing remarks and to give you some love. So I'm going to ask Renee to go first, then Lyrical 7 to go, and then you two could give your closing remarks and have prayer, and then we could close out.
This is Renee. Well, I want to say thank you for both of your testimony, Millie and her husband. I truly enjoyed it, and it was food for thought. That's what I say. And like I said, I digest every bit of it, and it helped me to see things in a different lens, how to approach things. Maybe not now, but in the future. And that's why I said, you know, food for thought, because you never know what might not be for you today, right now, might be down the line to help me. So I do appreciate, and hopefully they, you know, y'all do this again.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I just want to say to both of you all, thank you so much for your transparency. I think that's part of the problem that we have today, is that people are not willing to be real and people are not willing to be transparent. So we have false perceptions of how things are and the way things should be. And even like both of you all stated, even before you enter into marriage, some things that need to take place within yourself, within your heart, healing that needs to take place. My parents, that's part of their testimony. My mom was, both of my parents came from very abusive homes. And when they entered into marriage, I mean, they didn't have counseling. I mean, they got married young. My mom was 19. My dad was 21. And so they went through like years of winter seasons in their marriage because they both weren't healed from the trauma of their past. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is just beautiful that you both touched on that about getting healed. And so you don't want to take these things and then, you know, in a sense, unconsciously really, you know, take out on your spouse what was, you know, done to you, the hurts and pains of yesterday. So thank you again for just being transparent, just being honest, coming and sharing with us about a right perspective, a biblical perspective. And so there's a lot of things that I myself am going to take away in just my own life, my own, you know, relationship, and just, you know, applicable, things that are applicable, apply them to my own life. So thank you so much.
That's awesome.
Thank you. You're welcome. Well, I want to thank Steve for allowing us to be able to platform to be able to be transparent and just educate people and give people the realness of what marriage really is from both a biblical standpoint and a natural, just knowing how to prepare yourselves. You know, some people, they take better care of their cars than they do they husband or wife. You know, they get their tires done. You know, winter time coming, let me get tires done. You know, they wax their car, they keep it clean, but when they come to their wife, like, well, husband, just like, whatever. So just understanding the whole marriage and what it takes, you know, and being properly prepared for it. You know, it's just awesome that I feel blessed to be able to come on and share, and I feel like I benefited myself from just opening up and being forthcoming and transparent with you all. So thank you, Stacey, for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, thanks, Stacey. Appreciate
you. You're welcome. I am proud of you, Scott, because when you first started talking, and I know you probably was a little nervous or whatever, but I literally watch you take off like that kite is trying to get up in the air and you just waiting for that wind to come. When that wind came, you was gone. You was up there. And there's some things that I feel like God activated you in a lot of areas tonight, and you do have a word of deliverance in your mouth. And before Millicent is going to give her remarks, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to pray for the husbands tonight. And then Millicent, I'm going to ask you to pray for the husbands. And then I'm going to pray for the both of you before we close out. But Scott, you have, you gave many prophetic words tonight, but you gave wonderful instructions from the Word of God. And what you have experienced is going to help you. I've told you, both of you, before that God is going to use you as model leaders to help other people in their marriages. So I encourage both of you to continue to build on this four seasons of marriage and whatever else that he has given to you. And I'm going to ask you to consider doing a marriage session, like a grown folks marriage session, to really talk about intimacy, making love and sex, because the marriage bed is undefiled and there's a lot of bondage and a lot of people don't have that freedom in that area. And sometimes they're not taught from a biblical perspective about these things. And I kind of touched base with it a little bit with the poem and lyric, you know, it all came out in different ways. But it's a part of the marriage and then the being one. And I think that we could really help a lot of marriages, because today many people get married because of sex, because the sex is good. That's a wrong reason to get married. And then what happens to your marriage when the sex falls apart? Like you've outgrown that person, or you're just not satisfied anymore because it was a fleshy desire.
Yeah.
So, you know, those I wanted you to think about that, and also Millicent, to go in deeper with the submission, because there's not a lot of teaching about that. And then where there is teaching, there's a lot of backlash, and the women have an erroneous understanding of submission.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with submission. If we can submit to God, we can submit to our husbands. Because without submitting to God, we can't submit to our husbands. Like, it's going to be like, who you think you're talking to? No, we can't have none of that. You know? So that was just what I observed from tonight. So I wanted to share that with you all. But Millicent, you go ahead with your comments. And after your comments, then, you know, you guys can pray accordingly. And then I'll cover you all with prayer.
Amen. I think I've talked enough. So I really don't have any comments other than, yes, definitely. My husband and I always talk about, it's interesting that you said that about sex, because my husband and I talk about that a lot, about couples who, you know, they're having problems. They don't admit it. You know, talk about people who are pre-relationships, or they were so scared not have sex before they were married, because, you know, that was preached so much. that then they finally do get married, and then they don't know what to do, or they still scared. It's still a fear. So definitely we would, because we want to see people delivered, you know, in all areas of their marriage. You know. And then I'm just honored to be sitting here with my husband and the stuff that he shared. I'm really, really, really proud of him. And I got goosebumps right now. And what, you know, he was prophesied to already that he had a word in his mouth, and that to let God, you know, when he speaks, people will listen. And I see that coming to pass in him. So I'm so, like, grateful and so filled up with that. And so I'm, before I start crying, because I'm just really filled up about it, I'm going to let him go ahead on and pray.
Wow. All right. So first, fellas, like I said, really, really just tune in to who you are as a God, not just a man, as a godly man, really tune into that and understand what it means to be a godly man. And just once that happens, I'll tell you, the woman that you desire is going to be, she's going to be knocking on your door, bringing your door down, because it's just going to come out of you. That being said, let's prepare for prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for Stacy allowing us to be able to come on the air and just go out across the country and reach people and talk about our marriages, our seasons of going through winters and summers and springs and fall, and just how we got through it with your help, with your preparation, with listening to you and your Holy Spirit and going to you for guidance and not running to everyone else and just paying attention to what the world says you should do when you get into trouble as a marriage. But we really just honed in on what we needed to do and became better people, a better mother, a better father, a better sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin. Just, we just became better people. We became that powerhouse couple that people talk about us being, that we didn't see before, but now it's just coming that we are that powerhouse couple that you need to be in the fold to represent what you deem marriage to be and how we should go through it, even in times of the winters when they're really cold and harsh. We can get through those if we just do the right, pair ourselves and understand where our seasons are and what we're doing and how we should go about throughout the season, not just, you know, sitting there going through it and just dealing with it and saying, whatever, this is who I am, I am who I am, what, you know, all that. But just that we continue to grow and prosper, that, you know, our message gets out to people, that our we leave a legacy, not just for our children, but for people to understand that this is what a godly marriage is. So, Father, again, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Stacy just having the platform for us to be able to share your word and just bless people and bless the men specifically and how we should be, not just, again, and I'll reiterate this, not just a man, but a godly man in our marriages and in our lives, with our children, you know, or at work, everywhere that we are, just be a godly man. And I can't say it no more better than that. So, Father, I thank you, and I give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, again, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak to people. Lord God, I just ask you to bless our women, Lord God. Teach them your ways, oh God, that they may be godly women, Lord God, and that they will be an example and a blessing to those who are not yet saved, Lord God, so that we can show forth your glory in us, oh God, so that we can be an example. We can be a living epistle, Lord God, of your word, oh God. Thank you and praise you for just this time to be able to minister to our women about marriage. And even though it's not enough time, Lord God, I thank you that there will be other chances to just share with women your purpose and your plan for them, oh God, and share with them the beauty of marriage and how they can enjoy it and love it and then find themselves married for 30, 40, and 50 years, oh God. Thank you and praise you.
Yes, Lord.
For God, so
and all the ladies who are on the line, all the people who listen, and may they have been blessed from this time, Father, of discussion, Lord God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for such a wonderful, eye-opening discussion and the testimonies, the praise reports. We thank you for those that have shared, and we cover our listeners with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, and we cover this marriage. We cover Scott, we cover Millicent with the blood of Jesus, their children, their home, their vehicle, their finances, their ministry, their business, everything that they have, we cover with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the preparations that went into this message tonight, the four seasons of marriage. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will season their marriage, that you will mature their marriage even the more. And I pray that you will release another level of love in their marriage, where their love will grow more intimately and more passionately for you, and more intimately and more passionately for one another. We thank you for the love that you placed inside of them and the love that flowed out of them as they was ministering to your people tonight. We thank you most of all for the laughter, that they laugh and that they're friends. And so we thank you for their friendship. We thank you for their partnership. And Father, we pray that you will restore them, that you will revitalize them, and everything that they poured out, just strengthen them supernaturally and have your way in their lives, in their marriage. And thank you for the activation tonight. Thank you for allowing Millicent to see the results of answered prayer through the ministry of her husband. And we pray that you will go before both of them, that you would make the crooked places straight, in Jesus' name, amen. So amen. God bless everyone. This is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, God's network of love, and we thank you all so much for joining us. Special thanks to our special guest, Tanya Griffin, a.k.a. Lyrical 7. You will be hearing more from her. And thank you all. So thank you, Renee, and thank you, our other guests that didn't say anything, but we certainly see you, and we thank you so much for your listening ear, for staying with us through the length of the show. And God bless everyone. If you're married, bless your marriage. If you're in the process of getting married, I pray for you and your fiancé. Commit everything to God. I love you all. Have a blessed night.
You too.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.